tonight is the second part of the God of the Overflow. We started last week talking about the God of the Overflow. And of course, some of you who were not here last week, especially you that are in town for the men's conference, you definitely weren't here last week. Obviously, you can catch that on our social media. But just a kind of a reminder from last week. First of all, our main text is Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now we said that God's nature is overflow. God is not the God of barely enough. He's the God of more than enough. From the beginning of time, his nature has been abundance, multiplication, and overflow. We looked at Psalms 23:5, and it says this: You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. All right? It doesn't, I said, when the Lord is your shepherd, your cup doesn't run dry, it runs over. You know, overflow is not a bonus, it's his nature. You know, a lot of people, they get shocked whenever they might have overflow, but it shouldn't shock you. You should understand that's what God wants you to have, overflow, because we serve the God of the overflow. And then we started looking from the Old Testament and the New Testament of things, you know, of examples where we see the God of the overflow in existence. Abraham, it says Abraham was rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. You know, the Bible also says Abraham's blessings are mine. You know, Abraham experienced overflow. It talked about Isaac. Isaac, in the middle of a famine, Isaac was blessed. It says he began to prosper and continue to prosper until he became very prosperous. Can you say very prosperous? See, Abraham experienced the overflow, and the Bible says his blessings, have come upon us. Isaac experienced the overflow. And then we read about the widow's oil. The widow only had a little bit of oil, but the prophet of God says, go and get all the containers you can find. And you know what? The oil never ran out until the containers ran out. You know, the oil kept going until the containers ran out. I mean, you know, the oil didn't stop because God ran out. It stopped because she did. All right? Overflow always ends where expectation ends. God's supply is limitless, but he'll fill only the capacity you bring. All right. God will fill every vessel you bring him. And then, there was the children of Israel. They're in the wilderness. They didn't have anything to eat, or they couldn't find anything to eat. And the Lord provided overflow. In fact, that is when DoorDash was first created. Except for there was a little difference. Their DoorDash didn't cost three times the amount of money it actually cost to go eat at a fast food restaurant. But anyway, you know, but besides manna from heaven every day that was there, there were quail that was out there as well. He provided not just bread, but meat and bread so they could have quail sandwiches. All right? You know, and it says, he who gathered much had nothing left over. He who gathered little had no lack. Everybody had more than enough. Everybody had everything they need. And, you know, and he gave them fresh provisions every morning. Every morning they had more. It didn't run out. All right? God doesn't need perfect conditions to provide. He just needs your trust. You know, we read over the Second Chronicles where it talked about they gathered up the spoil for 3 days. They had blessings, you know, for 3 days. And God fought the battle for them, and the victory brought an overflowing blessing. They went from fear to faith to an abundance. And all they did was send out the praisers. When they sent out the praisers, the battle became theirs. Then we started looking in the New Testament, and Jesus was at a wedding, and they didn't have enough wine. So Jesus said, hey, find some water, and we'll change it over. You know, there wasn't enough, and he provided more than enough. Not only was it more than enough, it was actually the best wine. You know, because when Jesus shows up, Lack turns into abundance, and the best comes last. And then we looked over at the feeding of the 5,000 where Jesus took a little boy's lunch. Think about that. I mean, it was, you know, here they were in the middle of nowhere, and Jesus was telling his disciples, well, let's, you know, try to feed these people. And his disciples says, Jesus, we're a long ways from the nearest Walmart. Oh, he didn't say that. But there was no place to get food. He said, well, what do we have? Well, I mean, here's the thing. Out of 5,000 people, only one person brought lunch. Have you ever thought about that? There were 5,000 people there, and only one little boy had food because his mama packed his lunch for him. Praise God for that mama. You realize that mama not only fed him, she fed everybody. It says two small fishes, not the one you caught, you know, the big fish. You know, we're talking about the ones you really caught, the small fish. You know, whenever I say small fish, I always think, you know, they had a couple of perches and five loaves of bread. And we're not talking about Wonder Bread that's like this. We're talking about small. I mean, this guy's lunch. And Jesus took those things. He blessed them. He broke them up. And they took up 12 basketfuls after everybody had enough. I mean, that's the God of the overflow. I mean, you know, he was able to provide more than enough. You know, it says 12 basketfuls. I mean, so he basically took a kid's lunch, fed 5,000 people, and had leftovers. And they were all satisfied. It wasn't like, you know, you get one slice of pizza and you're still hungry, and after church you have to go get more pizza. You know, but but when Jesus blesses something, it multiplies. You know, overflow isn't about what you have, it's about who you have. Little becomes much in the hands of the God of the overflow. So last week we saw that overflow is not just what God does, it's who he is. Tonight we learn how to live in that overflow every day, because my God is the God of the overflow. But I want to look at one more example before we move to that. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. And it says this: when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. You understand that the Simon Peter was a fisherman. He knew it wasn't the best time to fish. I mean, he said, we've been out here all night. We didn't catch nothing. But you know what? Then he said these words. He says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So after they had done fishing all night in their own strength, they caught nothing. But when Jesus said, go let down your net, there was so much fish that they filled two boats, and there was so much that it was actually sinking their boats. That's the God of the overflow. That's the God that we serve. That's how God wants to bless us. You know, Peter obeyed Jesus' word, and the empty nets became breaking nets. When Jesus steps in your boat, emptiness turns into overflow. All right, overflow faith is not only fills your boat, but blesses everyone connected to you. And see, I mean, it wasn't just Simon Peter that experienced the overflow. His partners got experienced overflow as well. They filled two boats and, you know, had plenty left over. So let's go back to Ephesians 3:20. Once again, it says this: now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So let's break that down. First of all, it says he is able. All right. Now to him who is able. So first of all, we have to understand that Jesus is able. All right, because if you don't know what he's able or not, you don't have faith in him. You know, there's a lot of people that might make promises to you, but you don't know whether they're able or not. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of people that have made faith promises to this ministry, and they never fulfilled that faith promise. They weren't able. But we serve the God who is able. See, you know, to be willing is one thing, but not only is he willing, he's able. And so if you know that God is able, that's the thing. So let's just say that you know, you had an uncle named Elon, all right, Elon Musk. And Uncle Elon calls you on the phone and says, you know what, I'm going to give you $1 million just because I want to. Well, you know he's able, so you would trust him. I'm here to tell you that God has more money than Elon Musk. And he's able. Not he's able, he's willing. He wants to. And, you know, but it says this, that he's able. And then it says to do, what is he supposed to do? Exceedingly, abundantly, above. All right, so what does that mean? That means running over. Exceedingly, abundantly, above. You realize that most Christians would be satisfied if they almost had enough. You know, I mean, if you were able to have a 70-30 or maybe 80-20 split with the Lord, you'd be satisfied. You're like, you know, God, you provided 80%. I only had to do 20. But God doesn't say that he wants to provide almost enough. He says he wants to provide more than enough. And we looked at example after example after example from Genesis to Revelation. There's example after example after example where he was an overflow God. But then we are wondering, how are we going to make it? This is happening and that's happened. You realize that God is not limited to your economy. All right? I mean, he's not limited to what's going on in your life, in your country, in whatever. Because see, what happens is in our finite mind, we're thinking, well, yeah, God wants to bless me exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or think, but I don't know how it's going to happen in this economy. Well, you know, he doesn't need suggestions. He doesn't need you to figure it out. You know, that's really above your pay grade. You know, the Bible actually says only believe. It doesn't say only believe and figure out how it's going to happen. No, it says only believe. See, the deal is, the reason you don't experience overflow is you don't believe it's going to happen. Even though you have scriptures that say this is going to happen, even though we have examples how God provided in the past, you know, it says that I am the Lord thy God and I change not. They're in Malachi. And then the New Testament, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then the Bible actually clearly says that the things that I did and greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. So if Jesus took a kid's lunch and provided overflow back then, he can still do it today. Because he's still here with us. And like I might have pointed out last week, and it's my newest thing that I actually figured out the other day. I was thinking about this and thinking about how a lot of times, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times that we, as Christians, we put our focus in on men and women of God, of people, you know, because we don't see Jesus, we see people. But then it hit me the other day, you know, I started thinking about a ventriloquist, and I think I pointed this out last week. A ventriloquist, you know, they're standing there, and they have their hand, you know, over here in a puppet. And they're, you know, trying to talk like this without moving their mouth, you know. But everybody focuses on the dummy, right? We don't put our focus on the ventriloquist because that's not the point. We focus in on the dummy, but the dummy's not doing anything. The ventriloquist is the one that's doing all the work. So it just hit me the other day that I'm actually a dummy for Jesus. And so are you. I'm not trying to call you a dummy. I'm just saying that we as ministers, people are focusing on us because we're the ones standing there. But really, it's still Jesus doing the work. He's the one on the inside of us. He's the one leading us. He's the one guide us. You know, I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. One way he heals is through the laying on of hands. You've heard my grandfather say it many times. I always say the same thing. You know, I'm just a dummy for Jesus. I'm just somebody who we can use. All right? And a lot of times we focus in on the dummy. You know what? But, you know, we need to focus in on Jesus, who's the answer to everything. And he can do things exceedingly abundantly. And then it says this, above all that we can ask or think. So meaning beyond your imagination. All right, so more than you can even, now here's the thing, if you don't ask anything or think anything, he's not gonna provide, he'll provide what you ask or think, nothing. So what are you asking God to do? Are you ever asking? A lot of times we don't ask because we think, well, God knows what I need. Well, I mean, a great example, I just used it this weekend actually, blind Bart, Mark chapter 10, that, you know, it's obviously he's blind, that's his first name. Blind Bartimaeus, first name is blind. I mean, that's how people described him. Whenever Jesus, you know, he began to cry out, and it says that Jesus stopped and he called for him. He said, Bart, you know, come here. It was pretty obvious that he was blind because he had to have someone help him or whatever. And he got there, and the first thing out of Jesus' mouth was, what do you want me to do for you? No, duh, the guy can't see. I mean, that's what my brain would be thinking. But, you know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done. So Jesus said, what do you want? And Bart says, well, I want to see. And actually, you know, and then immediately Jesus actually, he didn't ever touch his eyes. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately his eyes be open. But you know what? It was pretty obvious he was blind. But you know what? Jesus wanted to bless them exceedingly abundantly, more than, you know, whatever he asked or thought. What did he ask for? He asked to be able to see. Not only is he able to see, but he was able to see that actually changed his life, because now he was able to live a good life being able to see. You know, God wants to bless you more than you can ask or think. So, you know, beyond your imagination. But then it says, according to the power that works in us. You know, so according to the overflow is actually on the inside of you. The power of the Lord is already on the inside of you. And that's right, Billy. That's what Paul told Timothy. Stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. Stir up the power. Stir up the ability. Stir up the situation. You know, if you don't know what to do, begin to stir up on the inside, because the greater one's on the inside of you, and he knows what to do, and he wants to provide the overflow to you. The power of overflow is working right now on the inside of you. So you know what? Let's look at a couple of things. We have an overflow in giving. We all know the scripture, Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Actually, we say it in our offering prayer every Sunday, you know, here at Rhema. All right? Well, what's the key thought? The seed that you sow determines the overflow that you grow. The seed that you sow determines the overflow that you grow. When you sow the seed, he says he's gonna take that, press down, shake together, and running over more than you can ask or think. You know, said God, this is my seed, but this is what I need. I mean, you know, I'm going through this situation, I'm going through that situation, maybe I haven't been paid in 35 days or whatever, but you are my provider. And he wants to provide more than we can ask or think. The Bible says, but do you really think that you're going to have pressed down and shaken together? And the reason why they're pressed down and shaken together is basically when you take something and you know, you put a bunch of stuff, and I should have brought an example, into a thing, and then you shake it down there, you're going to find out you can actually put more into it. Like if you're putting flour or sugar or whatever, and then, you know, but not only is it going to filter the top, it's going to be running over. Now, most people, you know, like if you're at a soda machine, you know, where you're, you know, when you're filling your soda up, one time I was at a soda, well, it's been more than one time, but a soda machine, and I go to fill my soda up, and I pull the thing, and it keeps running out. Anyone else ever that happen? And it keeps overflowing all over my hand and all over everything. And you know, in that situation, I didn't like it to be the overflowing. But well, what happens if that same overflow was money coming out or whatever I need to come out? I mean, that would be a good thing. You know what? My God's greater than a soda machine. All right? If a soda machine's able to run over, my God can cause things to run over. So he's, you know, overflowing giving. Now, overflow begins on the inside of you. John 7, 38 says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Overflow begins in your spirit and flows out to your world. It's on the inside. Like I said, you got to stir up that gift. You have the capacity to overflow on the inside of you because Jesus Christ, the greater one, is on the inside of you. The Bible says that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Actually, New Living, that's 1 John 4:4. The New Living says you have already won the battle. The victory is already yours. Overflow starts in me. The rivers of God are flowing out of me. It's on the inside. You have the capacity. You have the power. Overflow in every area of your life. God wants to overflow in every part of your life. You know, he wants to give you a spiritual overflow. Romans 15, 13 says this, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, joy and peace are the fruit of the spiritual overflow. I mean, you know what? It would be really nice to actually have joy and peace all the time because there's not a lot of joy and not a lot of peace in this world. But we have the joy maker. I mean, in a few days, you're going to be singing it. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. You're going to talk about how joyful it is, you know, and, you know, you realize you're singing about Jesus came to this world. That's why we have joy. Not because Santa Claus is coming to town, okay? You know, because some people, when they sing these, you know, Christmas songs, they don't realize why there's joy to the world. It's because the King has come. You know, and what did Jesus say? He said, I came to bring you peace. That's why they call him the Prince of Peace. So you know what the deal is that we have joy and peace on the inside of us. And we can have the peace that passes all understanding in the middle of the storm. And we can count it all joy when everything seems to be going bad because we know the greater one's providing the overflow for us in the middle of our situation. You know, he wants to provide physical overflow. 3 John 2 says this, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. So he wants to prosper, first of all, in all things and be in health. All right, just as your soul prospers. So health means, I mean, John's like, I want you to be healthy. I want you to be well. Healing flows from the overflow of redemption. Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes, you were healed. And if you were healed, then you are healed. I walk in healing. I walk in health. You know, I got this from my mom. My mom says, you know, she prays every morning whenever she's doing her devotions. She says that cancer cannot live in my body, but I changed it, you know, because I'm like, well, you know what? Why don't I limit to one disease? So I decided to put it all up. You know, I say sickness and disease cannot live in my body. All right, I'm not going to limit to cancer. I mean, you know. You know, obviously, maybe if you have cancer or something that runs in your family, fine. But no sickness, no disease cannot live in my body. Now, I actually, you know, during the whole COVID crisis, I said COVID-19 cannot live in my body. It has no power over me. You know, I guess that I actually got COVID because I took the test later on, and they said, and so the only week I could have got it was after camp meeting when everybody else got it. And I preached 3 times that next week, by the way. So I was here around a lot of you. So praise the Lord. You know, I can do all things through Christ's strength. I didn't know I had COVID. So, I mean, that's the only time I could have got it. So it had to be that time. But, you know, if I got it, I didn't know, I will say at that time, I was 340 pounds and had like 3 comorbidities. But I don't care. You know, COVID-19 cannot live in my life. So you must have had it. Well, if I had it, I sure didn't know it. It's the only time I could have had it, because then I took the thing, said I had it. But you know what? You know, it didn't affect me. It cannot affect me. Sickness and disease cannot live in my body. You know, talking about financial overflow, we all know this scripture, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall, not maybe, but he shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you know, that is a financial scripture, but I also point out sometimes you don't need finances. Sometimes you need healing. Sometimes, you know, you need other things. Sometimes, you know, you have a spirit of depression, or you have this. You need maybe an emotional situation, and sometimes you just need a hug. Whatever you need. But I also point this out, you know what? When your needs go up, because, you know, sometimes our needs go up, you know, with the economy or with whatever, so does his supply. Because his supply is going to be more than enough. And so a lot of times people, like, they start freaking out, like, well, yeah, but I needed this, but now I need more. I remember actually when you, if you, talking about my grandfather talking about, you know, how he would, you know, had a budget. He needed $150 a week, he talked about. And, you know, and he would just tell the pastor, don't do any, you know, offer, just say this is for Brother Hagin. And he wouldn't tell the pastor how much he needed because, you know, he said that's, he says, whatever comes in, I'm going to be happy because God's going to provide for me. But he said there was one pastor, he told him how much he needed. And the pastor goes, oh, Lord, no, nobody ever gets that much here. But then, you know, he actually said some things were happening at home, and my grandmother called and they needed twice as much. So then whatever, I guess because my grandfather's cantankerous, he told the pastor, said, now I don't need $150, I need $300. And he's like, you're never going to get that. Thank God for the pastor's faith. But see, sometimes we have that kind of faith. We're like, well, you're never going to get that. I mean, that doesn't happen. There's no way. But see, with God, God will make a way. You know, and we don't have to have a begging sermon over offering in order to get that. You know, he said, you just get up there and you say this offering's for Brother Hagin, and I'm going to take whatever comes in. Well, at the end of the week, you know, God provided more than enough to meet his budget. Because see, when his need went up, so did God's supply. Even though that church had never taken an offering up that big. And I know $300 doesn't sound like a whole lot of money now, but I guess back in those days it was, you know. But, our God's more than enough. All the time. We have an overflowing God. God blesses you according to his riches, not according to your riches. It doesn't say according to your riches, it says according to his riches, in glory, by Christ Jesus. So instead of worrying about the need, you say, you know what, God, this is what I need. And you said you're going to supply all my need, not half my need, not part of my need. But, you know, you're going to provide all my need. I'm going to add some other scriptures with it. You said you're going to supply all my need, but then you said exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or think. So you're going to provide more than what I need. All right, because we serve the God that's more than enough. Now, he overflows in grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but my grace is sufficient for you. That means we don't have to have extra grace. We don't have to have, you know, supernatural grace. We have enough grace, all the grace we need. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So grace overflows in your weakness and fills every gap. His grace is more than enough. And we live in his overflow. So, in conclusions, here's how to live in the overflow. Number one, believe the word that he is able. All right? Your expectation sets the level of your overflow. What do you expect? Do you expect to have almost enough? Because that's what you're going to get. Do you expect to have just enough? Because that's what you're going to get. Or do you expect to have more than enough? Whatever you expect is what you'll receive, because that's where your faith really is. Number two, speak overflow. And we all know this scripture, Mark 11:23, whoever says to this mountain will have whatever he says. So what is your mountain? If it's financial, physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, whatever it is, you speak to your mountain and you expect it to move. You don't hope it's going to move. And the Bible doesn't say to move your mountain. He says to speak to your mountain. He says, speak with your mouth and believe in your heart and put your faith in me. Number three, sow and expect. The widow's oil flowed when she poured. You know, all she poured out, you know, I mean, she just kept pouring out and it kept happening. And she kept pouring out and it kept happening until they ran out of jars. I tell you what, our God will provide when you least expect it. Number four, stay grateful. You know, praise keeps the overflow open. I mean, you know, my dad has a great book called The Untapped Power in Praise. And if you never read that book, I believe it's the best book he's ever written. And what's interesting, he's not a praise person, but he writes an awesome book because you know what? God will do what more than we expect whenever we praise him. Over in Psalm 67, verse 5, it says, let the people praise you. Then verse 6 says, then the earth shall yield her increase. All right, so I'm grateful for what I have, and I'm ready for more. So in closing, once again, Psalm 23:5 says this, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. So we have more than enough, exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask or think. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are the God of the overflow and that you do exceedingly above all we can ask or think. And we thank you that our cup does run over in peace, in joy, in health, in finances, and in purpose. And we thank you, Father, that I am living in the overflow. And Father God, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching online. And as we're going through life, as we're going through situations, and the devil is trying to tell us that there is no way we're going to make it, there is no way we're going to get through it, help us to remember that we serve the God that's not just enough, but we serve the God that's more than enough. We serve the God of the overflow, and it will be okay, and we will get through this situation every single time if we put our faith and our trust in him. And we thank you, Father, to help remind us every time that our God is able, our God is willing, and our God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask or think. Father God, we just pray a special blessing on each and every person that happens to be here in this room or watching online, and we thank you for it now. We thank you, Father, that you'll continue to be the God of the overflow in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor tonight, you know, and you're not here for the men's conference, you're first time here, the connection team is in the aisle. They have some they want to take you back, and we have a gift for you. If you need prayer for anything, our prayer partners are coming forward. If you happen to be a gentleman, there's a gentleman over here. There's some ladies over there. So if you happen to be a gentleman, go see the gentleman. If you happen to be ladies, go see the ladies. If you need prayer for anything, whether it's salvation, healing, whatever it might be, if you need prayer for anything, visit one of our prayer partners. Amen. Men, don't forget, men's conference starts tomorrow night. And if you haven't registered, you can go out there and register right now. And you could, and if you're a woman and have a significant other, whether it's a husband or a boyfriend, you go out there and register to them and tell them they're coming. They're going to come to the men's conference because it'll change their life. Amen. Amen. Well, turn around, shake hands with a couple people and say, I serve the God of the overflow, and you're dismissed.